Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, October 24th. New Sim Lab Director Aims for Expansion by Ruth Campbell. After a career in a variety of nursing roles, Denise Dunn has settled as the director of the Simulation and Learning Resource Center. Labs and experiential learning at University of Texas Permian Basin. She has been in the job about 6 weeks, but was an adjunct in the RN to BSN program for a year. She also taught for universities in California and Maine. BSN stands for Bachelor of Science in Nursing. Dunn and her husband were in Texas and decided to swing by UTPB, and they still have family in the state. They were also looking to move from Rancho Santa Margarita, California, and decided to stay. I've loved working with the people and the mission and the vision, and when the opportunity came to oversee the simulation center, I really jumped on it, she said. As its name implies, the Sim Lab simulates healthcare situations. One of our hallways here is set up for an acute care hospital, so if you were admitted to the hospital for surgery or for some sort of procedure, or you were ill, we have everything set up just like you would in the hospital, Dunn said. We have a medication room. We have a Pyxis, which dispenses medication, not real medication. Each bay that we have in our hallway here, we can simulate different situations in the hospital. So if somebody were having a cardiac arrest, we could run an entire code per se. We also, in our other hallway, have what we call Sim Mom, and we can simulate an entire birth process, Dunn said. She added that they are in the process of setting up a developmental nursery, which will include social workers as well. Social workers are very involved in pediatrics and nursery, making sure that the parents have resources, Dunn said. When she graduated from nursing school 30-plus years ago, none of what is included in the Sim Lab existed. We actually started IVs on each other. You don't have to do that anymore, which is great. We have arms that can simulate that, she said. Integrating social work is relatively new to simulation. Most schools of nursing are very separate from social work and other specialties, so they don't really look at joining forces. But when you're actually out in the real world, nursing and social work go hand in hand with each other, and coming up with care plans for patients and making sure that that patient is ready to go home and be able to care for themselves when they go home. Having social work in our college is very beneficial in being able to train not only the nursing students, but the social work students to work as a team is ideal, she added. Since Sim Labs started, the mannequins have changed and gotten better. Dunn said they had one for 11 years that they are about to upgrade. Others are of more recent vintage. And then we just got our Sim Mom, or Sim Junior, which is a pediatric patient, and our high-fidelity cardiac simulator just came in. Sim Mom and Sim Junior we got about 2 weeks ago, and we have training next week, she said. The nursing students and instructors can talk to the Sim people. One of their rooms is a control room, so the instructors can watch what's going on. The mannequin can say if it is having trouble breathing, where it is in pain, and the mom can deliver a baby. We can simulate a postpartum hemorrhage, which is an extremely critical situation. You really do need to know exactly what you're doing in that situation, because the amount of blood that a woman can lose within a matter of seconds is huge, because all of your major veins and arteries are open immediately after the baby has been born in the uterus. And for you to have a postpartum hemorrhage at that point, you can literally bleed out within minutes. We have the ability to now simulate back here, so when they're out in the real world and they see it, they can respond to it immediately, Dunn said. A native New Yorker, Dunn moved to California in junior high, lived in Houston in the mid-1990s, and worked for Memorial Hermann Hospital for a couple of years. She was a travel nurse and went to different areas working at rural and large medical centers. Her husband, Eric Alford, is an artist and does graphic design and 3D animation. Dunn earned a bachelor's degree in healthcare administration from the University of St. Francis in Joliet, Illinois, a nursing degree from Saddleback College in Mission Viejo, a master's from Husson University in Bangor, Maine, and another master's in organizational leadership from Azusa Pacific University. Having graduated in 1992, Dunn was a staff nurse, worked with inpatients, outpatients, been a director for inpatient and outpatient, done research, and more. I was getting burned out as being a nurse and really needed to find my passion again and seriously considered leaving nursing, Dunn said. She thought about going down the organizational route and fell into teaching. It really sparked my love of nursing again, and it gave me the ability to kind of mold the future of nursing. So even if I had the ability to change one or two students' thought process of what nursing should look like, then I felt like I succeeded enough, Dunn said. Thinking about a career path, Dunn said her mother was a nurse, but she started out as a criminal justice major. After 2 years, she realized there was a height requirement to go into the Secret Service or FBI, and she didn't meet it. She then decided to study nursing. Dunn also is glad to be at UTPB and to have the SIM Lab, which is part of the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance. I love it. I am so excited about the opportunity that we have here. We are really looking to expand it to be able to do more simulations with it, Dunn said. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday. Jackie Arnell Smotherman, 90, of Odessa, passed away on October 21st at Courtyard Memory Center in Odessa. Jackie was born on February 12, 1931, to John and Ruthie Ethel Gray Truesdell in rural Stevens County, Texas. She married Jack Huffman in 1946. She is survived by her spouse Cleo Roy Smotherman of Odessa, three daughters, Gina Bradford Trochelman and husband Lee, Debbie Williams and husband Bobby, and Vanessa Garner and husband Gary, seven grandchildren and four great-granddaughters, one sister, Portia Forster, and husband Roy. She is preceded in death by one daughter, Tricia Jones, one granddaughter, Barbie Ford, one great-grandson, Hayden Williams, her parents, and seven siblings, Orville Truesdell, Clarice Herricks, J.B. Truesdell, Denzel Truesdell, Zella Williams, Norma Reed, and Naomi Taylor. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, October 26th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral services will be on Wednesday, October 27th, at 11 a.m., in the American Heritage Funeral Home and Crematory with Byron McWilliams officiating. Burial will take place at American Heritage Cemetery. Helen Juanita Watley Leathers passed away Friday, October 15th at the age of 92. She was born in Big Spring on April 21st, 1929. Helen is survived by daughters Diane and husband Tom Morrison, Donna and husband Larry Turner, and son Gary and wife Susan Leathers. Grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Helen is survived by one sister, Jane Carter. Helen was preceded in death by her parents, June Benjamin Watley, Eunice Corinne Watley, husband Lester Leathers, her siblings Kenneth Watley, Carl Watley, Richard Watley, and Dorothy King. No services are scheduled. Jose R. Bravo, 82, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 13th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 3 p.m. Wednesday, October 27th, at St. James Catholic Church in Sanderson, Texas. Burial will follow at Santa Rita Cemetery in Sanderson. Father Francis Unjoku is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Hugo Cesar Hernandez Montalano, 40, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October 19th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. October 26th at Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. Burial follows at American Heritage Cemetery in Midland. Father Joe Uker is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Francisco Moreno Carrasco, 84, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October 19th in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Clarence Wilford Jeffrey, 90, died Wednesday, October 20th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Socorro G. Cazares, 89, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 20th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Tuesday, October 26th, at Odessa Funeral Home. Burial will follow at the Peaceful Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. Public visitation will be at the funeral home on Monday, October 25th, from 1 to 9 p.m. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Jefferson Russell Jeff Corning, 59, of Odessa, died Thursday, October 21st, in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Carlotta Gomez Gonzalez, 92, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 20th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Monday, October 25th, at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial will follow at a later date at El Ultimo Refugio in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Margaret L. Harris, 93, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 2nd, in Odessa. Celebration of life was scheduled for 11 a.m., October 23rd, at Rose of Sharon Baptist Church. Burial will be held Monday at 10 a.m., October 25th, at Ector County Cemetery, Rose Hill Section. Pastor Windsor Archie is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Larry Bob Hazard, 62, of Odessa, died Sunday, October 17th, in Abilene. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m., October 25th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Reverend Clydell Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Juan Silos Sr., 66, died Thursday, October 14th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Maria Luisa Rojo Sanchez, 71, died Wednesday, October 20th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Anita Marin, 76, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 13th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 26th, at Martinez Funeral Home Inside Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens Redemption Center. A prayer service is set for 7 p.m. Monday, October 25th. Reverends David Natividad Sr. and Jr. are officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Ross Lynn Walker, 57, of Odessa, died Friday, October 15th, in Lubbock. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m., October 26th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church. Burial immediately following at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 25th. Dowling Reading Club. Third graders dive into chapter books. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. A group of Dowling Elementary School third graders get a chance to meet with Principal Julie Marshall every day for third grade reading club. Marshall met with a group of eight on a recent Tuesday morning in a conference room. This is the fourth week the club has met, and they meet as often as possible during the week, Marshall said. The students had just read A to Z Mysteries, The Absent Author, and were about to start A to Z Mysteries, The Bald Bandit. When the students finished Absent Author, they took it back to their room and took a test on the computer. It takes about 2 weeks to get through one of the books. When they finish the first three books in a series, Marshall plans to start another group. Quote, "Today we're going to start the next book in our series," Marshall said, referring to The Bald Bandit. To be selected for the club, Marshall said the students had to apply by filling out an application, have their parents sign it, and write an essay about why they wanted to be in the club. Quote, "I actually got about 30 applications for third grade. I went through and read all the essays, and I picked out the essays that were the most compelling at this time. And so, when we finish the three books that we're going to read, then I'll do the next group of third graders, but we're going to read the first three books in the series, and then we'll start another group," Marshall said. Third grade is the first year they take their state assessments, and they have not had a regular school year since they were in the first grade, so Marshall said they are really working on their students' reading this year and their stamina. She noted that students should be reading on grade level by the end of third grade, and most of the club will be there. Quote, "It's really a great chance for me to get 30 minutes at the beginning of the day to be with kids and get to know them on a more personal level than in a room of 22 kids or at lunch," Marshall said. Madison Sotelo says she likes the club because she loves reading. Josiah Fay said the club is actually fun because, quote, "It helps us learn to read," end quote. Monica Martinez said she likes it because they get to read all kinds of chapter books. It also makes her feel more grown up. Seneta Escobar is a bilingual student in the club. Quote, "I know that her teacher really encouraged the kids in the bilingual class to join the book club because they're really working in third grade. They start transitioning to reading in English. So I'm super proud that she applied and that she joined us," Marshall said. Marshall said her assistant principal, San Juana Gutierrez, helmed the book club when Marshall was out and now wants to start her own group with a different grade. Quote, "Y'all inspired Miss Gutierrez to start her own," Marshall said. Medicare Open Enrollment. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. "I always have the TV on in the mornings when I get ready for the day. I used to listen to the news, but found as negative as things have gotten in the world in the last few years, I do better mentally if I wait until later in the day to catch up on current events. Instead, I have gone completely off the other end, and I listen to old TV shows from the 50s on one of the nostalgia channels. In those shows, the hero always wins, good always triumphs over evil, and there is no moral dilemmas. It's not very realistic, but it does help put me in a more positive frame of mind as I start my day. The one thing I notice on those channels is the huge volume of commercials targeted at getting people to sign up for a Medicare plan or services that give advice on choosing a Medicare plan. In open enrollment season, those commercials make me think of an old saying, 'Let the buyer beware.' Medicare open enrollment for coverage in 2022 started on October 15, 2021, and ends December 7, 2021. If you are age 65 or older, it's important that you enroll for coverage during the open enrollment period. Just as important is when you enroll that you know exactly what you are getting from your coverage and that the coverage meets your individual needs. Not just now, but if you have a health care crisis which forces you to make major lifestyle changes, such as a fall resulting in a hip fracture, a heart attack, or a stroke. The best way to make that decision is to be informed about your options. According to Medicare.gov, there are two types of Medicare coverage plans, Original Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans. Original Medicare has two parts, Part A and Part B. Part A covers inpatient hospital care, skilled nursing facility care, nursing home care that is not custodial or long-term care, hospice care, and home health care. Some things to consider with Part A, hospital insurance, is that it may not cover an observation, sometimes called an overnight stay, and it covers 80% of costs and has a deductible with no out-of-pocket limit. Part B, medical insurance, covers medically necessary services by healthcare providers and preventative services. Some things to consider with Part B is, again, the 80% and deductibles apply to medically necessary services. Most preventative services are covered 100%. Medigap insurance, which can be furnished by enrolling privately or is often a part of pension plans or other retirement benefits, is a good way of covering the 20% and deductible costs associated with Original Medicare. Those plans can cover observation stays and other gaps in Original Medicare coverage. A Medicare Advantage plan, also known as Part C, is a plan that combines Parts A and B, and sometimes Part D, which I will talk about in a bit, and is administered by a private insurer. They are the ones that are advertised in the ads on TV where an older celebrity talks about free dental services, free rides to healthcare appointments, and similar benefits. Every Medicare Advantage plan is different, and if you decide to look at Medicare Advantage plans, make sure you know exactly what you are getting. Some are good at limiting the upfront cost that people experience from Original Medicare, but limit services like rehabilitation and skilled nursing care when someone has a catastrophic health event where they need more time to get back to baseline. Some are the opposite, where the benefits for longer-term care are great and the upfront benefits are less. Medicare Part D is an optional addition to Medicare, which covers prescription drugs. Like most insurers, Medicare Part D works with a formulary where some drugs are covered better than others. If you know of your specific medications, you can get a really good idea of costs and the advantages to traditional Part D or a Medicare Advantage plan that includes drug coverage by looking at their formularies. Whatever plan you choose, remember, you can change it next year if needed, but generally, costs to the individual stay lowest when you enroll in one plan at age 65 and stick with it. Do your own research. Don't be swayed by a commercial or a company that has a vested interest in people picking specific plans. The Medicare website has a great unbiased tool in helping you find the best plan for you on their website, www.medicare.gov. Your health is far too important to put your coverage to chance. Take the saying, let the buyer beware, and do your research so you find the plan that works best for you and your loved ones.
Get rid of unsightly bruises to your good health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, Is there anything I can do to get rid of unsightly bruises? My doctor says the bruises on my forearms are from taking blood thinners. They don't hurt, but I don't like how they look. Dr. Roach writes, sorry, but your doctor is almost certainly correct. When bruising is limited to areas that commonly experience minor trauma, such as the forearms, it is unlikely to come from systemic disease. Anticoagulants like warfarin, apixaban, Eliquis, and clopidogrel, Plavix, increase the likelihood of bruises, which older people even without these medications can get. You can help by using sunscreen. Light makes skin damage more likely. And there is some evidence that bioflavonoids can help prevent bruising. These are found in many fruits and vegetables, especially colorful ones like berries, peppers, and red onions.
Mom still snoozes with preteen son. Dear Abby, for Monday, October 25th. Dear Abby, my son and daughter-in-law went through a lot to have a baby, but she had a miracle child in her 40s. The boy is now 12. The problem? She's still sleeping with him regularly. She's very cuddly and smoochy with him, and they use baby talk with each other. My wife and I are worried about his development and future. Should we be? Is there anything we, as grandparents, can or should do? We're not comfortable bringing it up in conversation. Doesn't seem normal. Dear doesn't. Okay, so you're not comfortable talking to your daughter-in-law about it. But where is your son in this scenario? Have you asked him what he thinks about it? How does your grandson feel about the fact that he still sleeps with his cuddly, smoochy mother? He'll be a teenager in another year, maturing from boyhood to young manhood. While you and I might consider what's going on to be stunting your grandson's development, other than talking with your family, there is nothing you can or should do. Dear Abby, I'm having a huge disagreement with a boyfriend. He says women and men cannot be friends ever, and that one or the other wants more than friendship. I believe people of the opposite sex can be friends and that there's nothing wrong with it. I have some male friends, and on the rare occasion I see them, my boyfriend berates me and calls me names. It goes on for days, and no matter what I wear, I am yelled at for that as well. He is convinced they want me for sex, even though I'm out with a group, never alone. Please help settle this. Friendly in New York. Dear Friendly, gladly, the sooner you ditch this insecure boy friend, the better off you will be. His insecurity and verbal abuse are an indication of what your future will be if you let this relationship develop further. When someone berates you and calls you names for days, it's an attempt to wear you down and control you. Does he also try to deprive you of sleep? The more friends one has, the better. And if some of them are of the opposite sex, it's fine. Please do not knuckle under. Lose this loser. Dear Abby, I have three daughters who live with me. My ex-wife told them what I used to do for work after I got out of the service before they were born. I was a mercenary. I was hired by a reputable security firm, and I never did anything illegal or morally wrong. But my daughters look at me differently now. How do I set this right? Full-time dad in Oregon. Dear Dad, I wish you had mentioned how old your daughters are and described how they are treating you differently. You need to have an honest talk with them in an age-appropriate way about your former career and be prepared to answer any questions they may have. In a case like this, being open and forthright is the solution.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.